Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to episode 4 of Bronze Bears, a special Second City Gridiron podcast series taking a look at the 2024 Pro Football Hall of Fame class that features the inclusion of 3 Chicago Bears. My name is Jeff Berkus, and I've been sharing some interviews and insights about Steve McMichael, Devin Hester, and Julius Peppers on the first 3 episodes. We're going to do a little bit of a pivot here, though. We're going to talk about the rest of the Hall of Fame class, the 2024 Hall of Fame class, and some other people that you may need to know if you're going to tune in and watch those 3 Bears go in. There's going to be some other guys going in. And then we're going to do a little bit of an exercise. We are going to predict to some extent, but also inject some of our own personal feelings of who should make the Hall of Fame over the next few classes. And basically, as a group, try to construct a Hall of Fame class for 2025, 2026. And then in the next episode, we will then predict the next 3 classes. So it's an interesting exercise. It'll be a lot of fun. It's also pretty football nerdy. So if you're not necessarily up for that, I just wanted to give you that full warning up front that we are getting into some football nerd stuff, that how the hall kind of works and how to construct a class, and if a guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and if maybe that person needs to wait a little bit. And then we really kind of reveal some of our personal biases. It's a really fun conversation. I'm really happy that I got to talk about this with Jack Silverstein and a couple of his colleagues that work on Hall of Fame stuff. I'm going to let those guys finally introduce themselves. They've been on the first 3 episodes, but you're going to hear Kirk and Paul introduce themselves. And then Jack does not introduce himself because he's the man that needs no introduction around Second City Gridiron and Windy City Gridiron circles. But for those of you that may not be familiar with Jack's work, he is the Windy City Gridiron's historian. He does a lot of great deep dives into Chicago Bears history. Jack and I started writing together on Windy City Gridiron. I think we came on within a week of each other, and we've found an instant kinship with doing that Bears history stuff. And so, of course, I had to have Jack on to talk about this Hall of Fame class. And then we're gearing up. We're going to be in Canton. We're going to be there for the game. We're going to be there for the ceremony and everything in between. And so we hope to capture some things while we're there. If you're listening to this and you're planning on going to Canton and you see me, please come up and introduce yourself and say hi. And we'd love to talk to you and get your thoughts on these Hall of Famers. But this episode is going to focus on the rest of this class and predicting the next 2 classes. And so enjoy my conversation with Jack, Kirk, and Paul.
All right. Well, my name's Paul Lawrence, and I have a lot of interest in NFL history. I've been a Cowboys fan, so don't hold that against me, since the 1970s. But I'm pretty well versed in football since that time. And then probably over the last couple of decades, really started getting interested in the Hall of Fame and the mechanics behind it, the process, and how things work and follow the elections. I've got to know many of the voters and been able to, with social media, to get engaged with a lot of people in a conversation. So you can find me on Twitter. My handle is PFHOF, Pro Football Hall of Fame. Canton guy.
Okay, and I'm Kirk Buckner. I own and operate NotInHallOfFame.com, a website dedicated towards looking at those who are not in respective Hall of Fames. That includes football, hockey, baseball, basketball, WWE and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm also the co-owner of and the founder, co-founder of the United States Athletics Hall of Fame, which is about to enter its second year where we're going to do a mass vote shortly. You can find me on social media at Not Hall of Fame.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me. And I think it's really good to get some non-Bears voices on what's happening here, because what I think is really kind of fantastic about this 2024 class is that you have three Chicago Bears going in. And I know Julius Peppers is primarily a Carolina Panther, but he played a significant and important portion of his career. I certainly consider him a Chicago Bear. And I just don't know how frequent three Hall of Famers have gone in the same class from one franchise. I know it's happened for the Bears before with the first class, you know, when they were putting all the old timers in and they were selecting from about a dozen franchises. But this feels significant. It feels significant because the Bears are in the Hall of Fame game, obviously, because of the three Hall of Famers, and they're starting a new era. They're starting a new era with the number one overall pick. They're starting a new era with a top 10 wide receiver that we're all really excited about. Things are starting to trend in the right direction. It feels like closing some chapters in history while also opening up a new chapter. It just seems like a very beautiful time to kind of reflect on the Chicago Bears franchise history. And so from your perspective, cheering for different teams and looking at the whole league like Kirk does, what does this mean for Chicago from an outsider perspective?
Well, I think it's good to see that, you know, players that obviously were key to that organization, that franchise, are being recognized. I mean, I think, you know, the legacy of the league, the Bears play a big part of that. You know, of course, one of the very first franchises, they I believe, still have the largest number of members in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So there's a rich legacy there that's being recognized. And, you know, you're right. It's very unique. The last time I can recall there being three for one franchise was at a time in which, interestingly enough, I think it was when, I want to say, Joe Montana and Roddy Lott were, I believe, the same class, and the senior candidate was Dave Wilcox. So the 49ers, a number of years ago, had three out of that. What at that point was, there was seven maximum in the class. So it is rare. It does happen. I don't think there's any rhyme and reason to it, but it's great to see players, especially from an iconic historical franchise and one that has such a great fan following, to see those players recognized in the hall.
I think for me, I'm sort of happy that it didn't work against the people in question, because sometimes you'll see groups, and I'll admit I'm kind of guilty of that, my own thinking, where you almost have your preconceived bias towards not wanting to have too many people representing for one group. I think what does sort of help in this case with Peppers, I'm certainly happy for him that he got in. I'm actually a Saints fan, so he terrorized me for years. So when he went somewhere else, I was very happy. So I think that I think in Chicago, yes, obviously you view Julius as one of your guys, but I think the rest of us, I know for me, he'll always be a Panther, just because, oh God, he scared me for a lot of things. I think I'm just happy when they get it right.
Talk about that a little more.
So we're looking at certain people who, like, for this particular class, I don't think anyone should have a problem with Julius getting in at all, first ballot. Devin Hester, and I'm sure Jack has told you this before, Jack Silverstein, many times, about how much Hester is one of the greatest at what he did. So he probably should have been earlier. I think he should have been, and he may be the last man to enter who's known as a returner. So when they do get things right, it's fantastic. When they get things sort of wrong, I know that Paul and I, we sort of have bantered back and forth at a little other group that we have about some people that seem to get left behind.
Talk a little bit about McMichael, Hester, Peppers. The rest of this class is an incredibly impressive class as well. You have Patrick Willis, linebacker for the 49ers, a guy that had a very short career, a shortened career due to injury, but obviously well-deserved, and similar number of ballots to Hester. Dwight Freeney rush in for the Colts. Andre Johnson helping break that wide receiver logjam that we've seen in the hall here. And then Randy Gratischer, the Denver Bronco, longtime senior committee guy that I think a lot of people finally exhaled when he got in. I'd like to go around to each of you and just talk about this class as a whole and what this means for this class and then what this means moving forward for the hall. And Paul, can I start with you?
Sure. I think what's most fascinating about a class like this is sometimes our classes are dominated by, you know, a number of first ballot of guys who we view as being among the best in NFL history. This is a really neat class because I think each one of these individuals represents a unique path to their election to the Hall of Fame and maybe some of the traditional challenges and barriers that they face. We've already gone over the issues with Hester and being the first returner and how historically significant that is. We talked about Peppers, and when you look at a guy like Patrick Willis, you kind of highlighted it, right? I think one of the most important shifts in voting trends in the last few years has been a greater appreciation for short careers. You know, voters back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, with the exception of Dick Butkus and Gail Sayers, they just would not really seriously consider anybody under 10 years of a career that had to be pretty solid. But we're starting to see, both with seniors and with moderns, Tony Pasella being an example of that, and of course Terrell Davis, of guys who had short peaks and had very short careers are now being recognized for it. So he falls in that group of somebody with a shorter career, but a very, very high peak and outstanding, one of the, you know, best linebackers during the time he was playing. And then he got, as you mentioned, with Andre Johnson, we're breaking this wide receiver logjam that voters have sort of been stuck between Reggie Wayne and Hull and Johnson. Is that has to open up opportunities for others. Now, you know, there's probably too many wide receivers being considered. I know that's something that Jack will go on a soapbox about, and he's right about that. And then you mentioned, of course, Gradishaw and Dwight Freed. So I think what's really neat about this class is how each one of them has had to overcome a particular barrier or challenge through the voting process to get in. And so there are some great stories. They're all great players, but how they got here and finally they are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So for me, that's what I resonate when I think about this class.
Kirk, what about you? When you look at this class, what does this mean to you in terms of the class overall, and what kind of sticks out for how it's going to impact classes down the road?
Yeah, Paul took a lot of my steam because I kind of agree with almost everything, really everything you said. We do see sort of that myriad of players who did take a different path to get there. Peppers with that long, great career. Willis with that short, powerful career. Andre Johnson, is he the best wide receiver out of the group that got in? It's, like you said, it's that discussion. Some people will say it's Wayne. Some people will say it's Holt. I'm just happy one of them got through because that logjam is just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm just going to repeat something that I've said that maybe you haven't heard. I will go on this and make this prediction right now in front of everyone. Hines Ward is going to always be a semifinalist. Always. He will never become a finalist. Put that in a big bubble. It's happening.
The 20 for 20.
20 for 20.
Kirk's been talking about the 20 for 20.
Yes. And then ESPN can do a 30 for 30 about it. The only one, I don't even want to call it a head scratcher. It's just, I was a little surprised that Dwight Freeney got through. And it's nothing against Dwight Freeney. He's an incredible player. When we look at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, as Paul will say, there is a queue. And I don't know how he sort of got there. Somebody who was, well, obviously I'm big on Jari Evans. I love the guy. I don't know however, how he jumped some other offensive linemen. Congratulations to everybody who got here. But I guess, you know, with Freeney, there's always like one, like every other year, there always seems to be one player that sort of surprises me. Bryant Young comes to mind. Again, another great player, but I was a little surprised.
Yeah, I think with Freeney, that was the one guy I didn't correctly predict this year. I had Gates in instead of Freeney. And then, you know, even on the same ballot with defensive ends, you know, you have Peppers. And so, you're going to put a second guy in, or if that second guy can be Jared Allen. Like, I mean, there's definitely some interesting conversations. It was a bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. Jack, I want to go to you. This class overall, obviously a lot of Bears influence. So that's really strong and amazing and fun for us as Bears content creators. But what do you, as someone who's looking at the Hall of Fame, see in this class, and what does that mean?
I think that the way that I look at every class is that some people open something up and some people are just great players who got in at the right time. So Paul talked about the short career players. TD, Kenny Easley, Baselli was a big one. I was looking at Willis and Gradishar. Willis's weight, if Willis's weight was as long as Gradishar's, he would have been elected in 2055. And now we don't have to worry about things like that because we all watched Patrick Willis. We know what kind of player he was. He did it at an extraordinary level and was a key piece of sort of like Urlacher and Olin Krutz. Like the fact that they were on four playoff teams, you know, over a year, you know, over a stretch where we didn't have great offense doesn't really surprise me because of who they were. And Patrick Willis, the way that he was able to be that centerpiece for three straight seasons of being in the NFC Championship game. You see that and you don't need to see anything else. I think it was really interesting as Randy Gradishar's case got better known in a more popular sense where people started to see the things like seven of his 10 seasons, he was all pro. Or, you know, the 77 Broncos are the only Super Bowl team through, what year was it? It was like 03, who didn't have a Hall of Famer. So I think that people start to see, oh my gosh, we've really been sleeping on this guy. But then they have like the real world version for themselves of their generation in Patrick Willis. And then hopefully then when they look at the next guy, they'll be even further along. So I look at things like that. Whereas Andre Johnson, great player, one of my favorites. It was time for someone to get in. I think he should have been first. I don't think that says anything really about trends or the future of voting. I just think outstanding player, loved watching him. Happy for him. Glad he's in. Hester, does that open it up? Maybe, you know, maybe for White Shoes Johnson, if they follow what Kirk said, which is that if you're on the all-century team and the 75th team, that needs to be honored. You know, but you talk to our friends Tom and Ron, and they'll tell you, well, during their careers, Rick Upchurch was considered better than White Shoes Johnson. So is that going to open that up? You know, Jeff, you talked about, you know, the different levels of numbers that he surpassed. Punt returns was Eric Metcalf, 14. Does that start some sort of conversation around him or Brian Mitchell? You know, I think on the one hand, Hester's the best of the best of the best of the best of the best. He's like maybe the most, if you asked every NFL fan, player, media reporter, anybody, and said who is the best player of all time at a position, he and Jerry Rice probably score the highest. And that doesn't necessarily trickle down because he is so different. If White Shoes got in, then you could start, then all the Upchurch people would be like, well, wait a second. There's no one, you can't really wait a second with Hester. He's that far beyond. So I don't know. That'll be, you know, we'll see. But does that start a conversation somewhere about Matthew Slater somehow or Steve Tasker somehow? Or, you know, we're going to have these other players. Vinatieri's going to get in. Leckler will probably get in. Tucker will get in. Butker might get in. So does that start to broaden the conversation about specialists? It won't necessarily be because of Hester, but he'll have played his role. So I think that's really good. I mean, the other really interesting item, the newsworthy item that is maybe a little more inside baseball, something the four of us talk about, but probably others don't, is Art Powell and Buddy Parker. And that's, you know, those are the two names that are missing from our list. For anyone unfamiliar, Art Powell was the third. They have all these name mix-ups, but finalist. He was the third of the final three that went in with Gradishar and Steve McMichael, and Buddy Parker was the coach finalist. And then on the final vote, those two got the axe. So I think that's that raises way more questions, I think, than to what degree does like a short tenured player, da 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 da. Like that stuff was sort of going to happen. This, I don't know anybody who thought this was going to happen.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And we're going to do something special with these guys. And I think that these guys run through scenarios all the time. These are Hall of Fame experts. These guys are running scenarios all the time for different Hall of Fame things. But I'm wondering if they've done anything quite like this. What we're going to do is we are going to try and elect a class from 2025 all the way through 2029. Now, you have to be retired for 5 years for the Hall of Fame to be able to put you in. So we could project over the next 5 years who will be eligible. So that's from a starting point why we're picking five classes. What we're going to do is we're going to, since there's only four of us, we're going to put one first ballot Hall of Famer in each class. I asked these guys to send me who they think are first ballot Hall of Famers. And for the most part, I have consensus to put in at least one guy at the top of each of these classes. Now, after that, we're going to have an order of selection. The only rule here is that if you're the first selector, you have to decide, is there another first ballot Hall of Famer? And you get to make that decision. If there is not a first ballot Hall of Famer for you, then you can pick your next player on your list that you want to put into this class. That then takes away the ability for the rest of the electors to put anybody in as a first ballot Hall of Famer. So you get a little bit of power. Now, if the second voter says, yes, there is a first ballot Hall of Famer here, I'm going to put this person in, the third person or the second person that's electing the third player, they could then decide, yes, there's one more first ballot Hall of Famer until someone decides no more first ballot Hall of Famers. So those are the rules. Just something a little different. I want to kind of see what classes we come up with. I want to see what biases we bring into this. You're going to have a very interested amateur also selecting, which would be me. You guys have been studying this a lot. You can make fun of my picks off air. I'll let you do it on air too, but try to be kind to me. But for the first class, we're going to start off with 2025. And I just want to set sort of the groundwork here. So the finalists from the 2024 class that were not elected. So these are the 6th through 15th place to come into this particular class, if you will. That's going to be Jared Allen, Eric Allen, Willie Anderson, Jari Evans, Antonio Gates, Rodney Harrison, Torrey Holt, Fred Taylor, Reggie Wayne, and Darren Woodson. Those guys are finalists from this last year. Some of them have been finalists multiple times. And so those are going to be a pretty rich pool of candidates from which to start with. I also think it's important to mention the semifinalists from this year as well. Those include Tiki Barber, Anquan Boldin, London Fletcher, Eddie George, James Harrison, Robert Mathis, Steve Smith Sr., Hines Ward, Ricky Waters, and Vince Wilfork. So those players are also probably in the mix here as we start talking about, maybe someone who comes into a finalist, maybe someone who a couple of years down the road, one of these guys may pop up and one of our electors may take one of those names. And then for each year, I'll reveal who is first year eligible for that year. And some of those guys are going to carry over. So for 2025, some of those first ballot names that we need to know that are now live and maybe be able to be selected include Eli Manning, who I think that voters are going to have a very fun conversation with. We'll see how far he gets in the first year, but certainly is going to be some fodder here to talk about Eli Manning. Marshawn Lynch, Marshall Yanda, Earl Thomas, Adam Vinatieri, And then maybe a couple names that might may make some semifinalists, maybe surprise me early on, but like a Joe Staley, a Ryan Khalil, Darren Sproles, probably not going to make a name, but somebody, all of us, including fantasy football owners, probably love a little Darren Sproles talk, and Terrell Suggs. I think those are names from next year that are going to be at least talked about and discussed, and you may see some people say, like, hey, I think he's got a chance. The one name I did not mention, because he's going to be our unanimous pick for this class, our first ballot Hall of Famer, that's going to be Luke Kuechly, the linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. We're going to put him in as our choice for a first ballot Hall of Famer collectively. So he is the first player of five in the class of 2025. So, Paul, I'm going to hand it to you. And you, my friend, get to decide, is there another first ballot Hall of Famer? Is Eli Manning a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is Marshawn Lynch a first ballot? You get to decide. And if there's not, then you get to pick your player and we'll move on.
Okay, so I do not think there's another in this particular group, another worthy first ballot, including Eli Manning. So I am going to elect tight end Antonio Gates. Yeah, so if you're not familiar, I think most people would view in the era of the early 2000s into 2010, the second best tight end in the league after Tony Gonzalez. If I'm correct, he still holds the NFL record for most career touchdowns by a tight end. His numbers are among the highest in the career for tight ends in his era, and also historically, I think he's truly deserving of the Hall of Fame. And it seems in here, this is being his second year on the ballot, I think he's well deserving of a slot in our class.
Absolutely. He was, in my mind, a guy that I was a little surprised wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer last year or this year in his first year of eligibility. So I think this is a very logical person for you to select here. Tons of touchdowns. Again, someone who fantasy football players obviously loved and had on a lot of championship rosters as well, which I think probably plays into this a little bit from the public perception part, but absolutely fabulous player. One of those guys that did make that basketball transition as well. So far we have Luke Kuechly in as our consensus player and Antonio Gates in. Jack, I'm going to turn it to you. You get the next selection. So again, you cannot select somebody who is a first ballot eligible player this year because Paul determined that there's not a first ballot Hall of Famer after Luke Kuechly. So who would you like to put into the 2025 class of the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, and I agree that there is not that one consensus guy. So something that we do a lot more than I think maybe a lot of reporters do, or the way that fans talk about it, is we tend to not just look at who's new. We tend to look a lot at who's old and waiting, and we'll get to some of those things. But to me, there's still one person who needs to go right in, and I would have had him in a while ago, which is Torrey Holt. And I've got a lot of other choices, a lot of other people. We're going to hear a lot of other names. But to me, Torrey Holt, one of the things that I look at is, who defined the position. And at a time when the position was defined by T.O., Randy Moss, and Marvin Harrison, Torrey Holt carved out an all-pro first team and a receiving title. So that kind of thing is pretty important. The fact that, everything he did right as a rookie, even though he wasn't over 1,000 yards as a rookie, he immediately changed the dynamics of that offense and how far you had to defend. So Torrey Holt is my next one.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense, particularly after Andre Johnson goes in this class. Like we talked about that wide receiver logjam, there's now an opportunity to maybe move that moving forward. Holt, the next guy. I think that for me, it's kind of a coin flip with Wayne and Holt. I think that both are deserving. Both have been finalists five times up to this year, so it makes a lot of sense. Kirk, I'm going to move to you. You get the fourth selection on this particular class. Who are you going to put into the 2025 Hall of Fame class?
Okay. First off, excellent choices by Jack and Paul. Those are actually what, if I was two and three, those were the ones I was going to do. So I'm going to go a little bit outside the box. And to Jack's point, a lot of the time we look at people who are nearing their end. And someone who I think is approaching that, who's never been a finalist, has been a semifinalist, on a team that does get a lot of Hall of Fame love, but he didn't win that elusive Super Bowl. He came after that. I'm going with Steve Wisniewski. Multi-time Pro Bowler, multi-time All-Pro, either first team or second team. The heart of that line. Blocked for a lot of guys who probably would not have gotten 1,000 yards rushing without him. Protected a lot of mediocre quarterbacks until late in his career with Rich Gannon, when he had his emergence very late in his career. And I do think it's really important to sort of recognize the O-line. Guards, as Jack mentioned earlier, are another position that just don't get a lot of love. And Wisniewski was an all-decade guard.
Yeah, I love it. Definitely a name that deserves that conversation. And I like how you guys are bringing up players from the past year. Makes a lot of sense. I gave myself the number 5 slot in this first draft because I figured I would have the best chance of knowing, you know, having that number 5 slot locked and loaded here. And I'm looking at this going, oh no, now I'm terrified. Now I'm going to make a decision that these guys are going to make fun of me. And I actually don't know how this player hasn't gotten in yet. He's not my favorite player, but he does have a Chicago Bears connection.
Oh, no, here it is.
I got to do it. I got to put in Jared Allen. I think that he's got the numbers and deserves to be in. I think he's just an obvious person to put into the Hall of Fame. Jack, you're going to make fun of me here for doing it, but I actually don't really understand why he's not yet in the Hall.
I'm not making fun of you. This is a sticking point. Let's keep going, and you'll see why. I like Jared Allen. I think he definitely earned Canton. He and Reggie Wayne don't really inspire anything in me. And there was someone who was Jared Allen's teammate who I always thought was better. That's all I'm reacting to.
But I think it's a timely pick in the sense that. Where how we want to think about his merits. The last two elections, Jared Allen, when they start with the 15 finalists in the debate, their first cut down vote takes them to the final 10. He has made that round of final 10 the last 2 years. And I'm only mentioning that because it does indicate the voters, he's on the voters' mind. There's an interest there. He just hasn't crossed over. Another thing to keep in mind is, again, recent voting trends. Voters love pass rushing. They love the career sacks. And so it isn't out of the realm to think that he is somebody, at least from the voters' view, who's going to get in very soon.
And another guy like Peppers who did it big on multiple franchises, because we can say whatever about the Bears. He was a killer in Kansas City, and then he crushed in Minnesota. I mean, he was both places.
And I think the trend, not the trend, but having Peppers and Freeney go in this year, I think, paves the way. And so for me, this is just one of those. I thought one of you guys would make it. Let me put it that way. I thought he'd be gone and I'd be making a different decision, but I feel like it's the one that I kind of have to make, even if I personally don't love Jared Allen, because he wrecked a lot of Bears quarterbacks wearing purple. Right.
Lewis.
Yeah, well, many people did that. That's not a distinction that he gets to have by himself.
No, but he injured Lance Lewis. Well, you said wreck quarterback, so I was just remembering Lance Lewis.
Okay, all right. Yeah, the photographic mind of Jack's is never in question. So every class, the person who has the 5 spot is going to be able to pick a senior candidate as well. So you guys get to select your senior candidate. Bring out the big guns. I'm giving myself the 5 spot twice, not because I get to pick 2 senior candidates, but because the first one I'm going to pick a contributor. So there's no minimum time between when you can elect somebody to the Hall as a contributor after they retire. For me, I want to put Peter King in the Hall of Fame. Peter King is part of the reason why I wanted to start writing about football, and I'm sure a lot of writers feel the same way. He's also part of the reason why I really love the Hall of Fame. He wrote openly about it. He talked about his voting. He was very honest about his thoughts, and I really appreciate him for that. He has an intimate knowledge of the Hall of Fame. I don't know anybody who provided better coverage in his era. You want to talk about a great writer who covered the whole league? I think that he exemplifies that. And so I would use my vote to put in contributor Peter King.
I like it.
Very innovative. The contributor as a separate category has not been around for about a decade or so. It's primarily been GMs, owners. We've had some scouts. He would become the first writer slash journalist, broadcaster, or you want to put that group together, to be elected, enshrined.
I'm an innovator.
So it's innovative and certainly deserving. And it would be, an interesting kind of a new step forward in broadening the view of contributors. And I am looking at my good friend Jack and Kurt here. We know somebody who would love that choice of being sort of a non-traditional contributor, but certainly well-deserving in terms of the impact of the game that he's had.
Okay. All right. So our class is Luke Kuechly, Antonio Gates, Torrey Holt, Steve Wisniewski, and Jared Allen. It's now 2026. There are a few new names to add. We're going to talk about Larry Fitzgerald, Frank Gore. There's some other guys like Geno Atkins, Marquise Pouncey, Stephen Goskowski, who will be eligible this year. Jason Witten is a name that'll start to get thrown around with Hall of Fame. Maybe even like a LeSean McCoy. There's some other interesting names a little further down, like a Philip Rivers. I think we'll start to get some talk and some buzz. Julian Edelman has an interesting Hall of Fame case because of his playoff history. Bears favorite Greg Olsen. I don't think he has much of a chance, but Jack, I'm just setting the scene, man. I'm just talking about first year eligible players that may get some buzz and may get talked about. I'm not making a case for them. I'm just laying out who's first year eligible. Plus, we're rolling over all those players that we talked about that last class that are going to be eligible. Now, the one name I did not say is going to be our unanimous selection, and that is quarterback Drew Brees. Drew Brees, a very obvious candidate to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, has all kinds of yards, all kinds of touchdowns, all kinds of incredible seasons consistently at the top of his game. Definitely compiled a lot of stats, but does have that ring. Also very important component in all of this. Kirk is showing off his Saints shirt as a big fan for that. So in terms of quarterback meaning something incredibly big to that franchise, you have to say Drew Brees is part of that. So he is our player that we are electing as a group. I have the second selection, and I'm going to say, yes, there is another first ballot Hall of Famer, and that is Larry Fitzgerald. Beyond Jerry Rice, Fitzgerald has a lot of these receiving records, did it for a very long time, high level player, played in one place his entire career, really is synonymous with the Arizona Cardinals. And, I think is one of those guys that played the game how everybody would love everybody to play the game, like just played it hard, was a good ambassador of the game. Very just interesting guy. I know that doesn't necessarily matter for Hall of Fame voters, but just an interesting guy off the field, very charismatic and a intellectually curious guy. Somebody that I've just been a personal favorite of mine, but yeah, I don't have to sell any of you guys on Larry Fitzgerald being a first ballot Hall of Famer. So
I would put him as a first ballot over Brees if I could only have one.
Well, you don't, because we can have two. We don't have to make that decision. And we can make three if we really wanted to, because
we don't want to. There are a lot of guys who are out of eligibility this year.
Paul is going to make that determination for us in this one, because Paul has the next pick. So Paul, Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald are in. You can determine if there's another first ballot Hall of Famer, or if not, who are you selecting from the eligible candidates?
So I've made the determination that there is in fact not another first ballot deserving candidate for the 2026 ballot. And my selection is going to be offensive guard Jerry Evans from the New Orleans Saints. So we're going to get two Saints in this class. And my reasoning there is one of the top three guards in the 2010 decade. He's all-decade player, multiple first team. And I am an advocate for interior linemen who are largely underrepresented. And I don't think he needs to wait because of the position. He doesn't not to be a guy like Alan Faneca, who had a very similar career, and the voters made him wait 7 years to get elected. So that is my selection for this 2026 class.
I love offensive line talk. Anybody that listens to my weekly show with Lester A. Wiltfong knows that we love to talk about the trenches. So absolutely great player. Great pick there. Jack, you're going to be next. You have the four spot here. Who are you bringing into the 2026 Hall of Fame?
Yeah, this is actually really hard. There are a number of guys who everybody knows I like and who these guys all like who are in their last year of eligibility. And in the nature of this exercise, I right now can only save one of them from this is really hard because I'm looking at two in particular. I'm going to go with Randall Cunningham. And wow. Randall, two people heard me say it. He is the only eligible two-time MVP, not in Canton right now. He won PFWA MVP in 1990, and he won the NEA, the national, well, more appropriately than telling you what that acronym stands for, that is the players' MVP. So in 1998, the players' union elected Randall Cunningham as MVP over Terrell Davis in his 2,000-yard season. Randall had a lot of years where he could have been getting one of those Pro Bowl spots or could have been getting a little bit more recognition. His numbers, for example, in 1990 are ahead of Joe Montana's in every single category. Joe Montana won the MVP. He also finished second in the AP MVP voting three times. He has a little bit of a contributor aspect to his candidacy, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of changing what people thought a quarterback could look like and general managers, the way that they picked. Our other Bears, Jeff, has pointed out that Randall Cunningham specifically set the stage for Michael Vick, and Michael Vick, in a lot of ways, set the stage for a number of QBs to come. So Randall, I think he's really important in the history of the game. I think he had really great peaks. When I look at all these quarterbacks who are coming up and it's just all about passing yards, I'm inclined to roll with someone who had those MVP seasons. It feels like you have to explain and defend that one because I think that's something that catches people. A lot of people are like, what, really, Randall? But yeah, really.
Yeah, I think you should explain most of the picks just because all of these guys are pretty well deserving. And like you said, it's hard to put together a Hall of Fame class. So if you're going to put somebody forward, particularly someone who hasn't been in a recent finalist or semifinalist group, then yeah, I think that's makes sense. We've seen that, right? We've seen guys come back towards the last year or two of eligibility. Hey, we're trying to push this guy to see if we can hear their case and see what happens. Sometimes it falls short. Sometimes it works, right? But at least they get their case heard. Kirk, what about you? Are you going to go with a similar player who's at the end of his eligibility, yes, or are you looking for a more recent player?
No, I'm going along the Jack attack, and someone who's never been like actually Randall Cunningham, who's never been a semifinalist, never been really considered, and I can't for the life of me understand why, and that's Neil Smith. Neil is. You know, we talk about sort of like when you're the, I guess, the number two in a tandem, it doesn't always help you. Yeah, he was number two to Derek Thomas, but that never should be held against him. Just could do everything. Yes, known for his pass rushing, excellent against the run. Got two Super Bowls late in his career. That's probably one that bothers me the most personally, that he never got at least a semifinal look. And I think he's actually that good, that important. I remember watching him play. He is my selection.
I think I can remember him with like
the
Band-Aid, right?
He put on for, because it was legit the one time that just sort of became, I guess, his lucky charm / gimmick.
So, defensive tackle, mainly for Kansas City, also played for Denver, mm-hmm. For a piece of his career. So for people that don't remember him.
For people who don't remember him, one thing that's not going to show up on his Pro Football Reference in the way that it was experienced is that he was the guy who went to Denver and was immediately, this is the final piece, because Denver had been 13-3 and lost that game to Jacksonville. And there was a lot of questions about, could they really get over? And Neil Smith being both an outstanding player and being someone in the division. So you are really flipping an Othello piece there with going from Kansas City to Denver. And Denver played Kansas City in the playoffs then that year on the road. And having Neil Smith was enormous. So it wasn't just like his 15.5 sacks, whenever that was, 93, I think, and playing next to Derek Thomas and his career numbers. He was essential, critical to those two championships.
Kirk, your choice for senior vote here.
Okay. I'm going to go way back, and I'm taking someone. I don't know if you know this, Jeff. But we do also a Pro Football Hall of Fame revisited project where we actually act as if we have a group of people, they put in votes, and we're acting as if the Pro Football Hall of Fame began in 1946. And part of that is we're sort of like seeing where that would sort of take us. And I've got someone who got in early and who was part of the centennial class. And I think it's also going to be super hard for, and as Paul said, anyone before 1960, maybe anyone pre-merger, I think with Art Powell not getting in is going to have a really hard time, but I'm going really old school with Lavi Dilwig.
Say it again.
Speaking of our friend.
Yes.
Yeah. There's that. Yeah. I'm sure that might be a little bit inspirational from that, but dominated every year he was, like way back, like what was it, late 20s or early 30s, multiple championships, Green Bay Packers. I mean, the Packers are highly represented, but not enough. I honestly believe that. And he is my most wanted senior. He wasn't necessarily at one point, but the more I sort of like read up on him, the more I learn about him. There's still some people who got left behind. We talk about a lot of people who got left behind, and here's one. And when they threw his name out in the centennial class, I thought, okay, this is going to be interesting. Didn't happen for him. But if I'm sort of get the person who can give that lifeline, I'm giving it to the person who's the most dead.
What is his name?
Lavi Dilwig. Laverne. Full name is Laverne. L-A capital V-E-R-N. Jeff, do you remember Anthony Dilwig, Packers like third string quarterback in 1990?
His
grandfather.
What a pull. What a pull, guys. This is exactly why I have you guys on.
He was the premier wide receiver and at the time, and he played for the Packers. He was Don Hutson before Don Hutson. That's really what it was. He led the league and had the career stats. And for a number of years, for a good decade there, and at his best his position, and just sort of got lost in history. I mean, Don Hutson, many people still consider today, guy who played in the 30s and 40s, and one of the top end slash wide receivers in NFL history. But so Dalway's kind of been lost to time, but very significant player, championship team player, and well-deserving. So kudos. That's a great pick.
You guys are going to just try to outdo each other. I think that's where this is going here. All right, I'm going to move on. So just to recap real quick, Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, Jari Evans, Randall Cunningham, Neil Smith, and Laverne Dilwig. Delwig. Okay, all right. I'm glad I learned something tonight, right? Like that's not always the case when I do something like this. So I love it. All right, that was my conversation with Jack, Kirk, and Paul. Really loved this exercise. I thought it was a lot of fun, giving some power to people that they may not otherwise be able to influence an entire room, but you get to make the pick yourself. I thought that was really cool. Probably an angle that these guys haven't been able to play with in the past, and so it was fun to see some of those preferences revealed. It was a really long conversation. It went really late into the night, and so I had to cut this into two episodes. So we will release the next episode in a couple of days, and that will predict the next three classes, and you'll get to see the end of that conversation. So thank you for listening to this episode, and until next time, bear down.
Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.